Hello and welcome to the 24th episode of IMB Podcast, brought to you by the Communication Cell and Student Media Cell of IIM Bangalore. The new podcast series aims to become a platform to discuss the latest business, economic management and social issues that matter. The podcast will witness the IIM Bangalore fraternity, including but not limited to the faculty, members, student and alumni, providing their insights and perspectives to the topics and issues surrounding us. For this episode, we have Professor YLR Murthy with us today. Welcome, Professor.
Thank you.
He's a professor in marketing at IIM Bangalore and has commendable experience in the field of marketing and brand management. Today's theme of discussion is marketing and branding in the digital age. So, sir, in the digital age, brands have more channels than ever to reach their audiences. So, how should marketers prioritize their efforts across different digital platforms to create a consistent brand presence?
Okay, see, that depends on, basically the answer depends on who you are. You could be a small organization and, you know, a startup kind of a thing, and you could be a big one like a P&G or something like that. Now, the approaches of these two people will be very different. For instance, if you take a typical startup, then they would, how to use those channels smartly without wasting money. That would be one of the things. And how to say something cool to get the message across. That would essentially be what the startup kind of guys would be doing. But an established organization like, let's say, P&G or Unilever or whatever, the budgets are not really the problem. You know, how to spend the money well, how to make sure it's directed properly. They can use all the platforms. And their thing would be, how do we get hungry and lean and get some startup thinking into our organization? So that's roughly the kind of challenges. They're different for both sides. Yeah.
Such brands that have successfully repositioned themselves in the market through strategic branding efforts with, or let's say, without the assistance of AI?
Okay. See, repositioning has been happening for a very long time. A classic example is the well-known Marlboro thing, which started as a woman's cigarette and became a man's cigarette. And that's probably 180 kind of degrees kind of a thing. You look at Lifebuoy and how it has changed from 1960s to now. That was actually a athletic male kind of a soap. That was what it was. So two properties were actually retained, which is germ kill and health. Those two are still there, but they moved the focus now to family. So if you look at now the position of Lifebuoy Plus, very clearly it's focusing on the family. I was seeing, see, recently Bajaj Electricals apparently wants to move from the popular to the premium position, so they'll probably launch a new range there. There's also interesting cases where the positioning in different places is different. For instance, Boxer in India is different from Boxer, let us say Bajaj Boxer, that bike is different from Africa. In Africa, it is actually used for public transport. In India, many of these are used for personal transport. So, you know, these are basically where repositioning has worked. And to the other thing of way, how strategically you can use this for marketing, branding of course, but marketing is classically the thing used by, done by Asian Paints, for instance, where they actually used ERP, CRM, that kind of data, to know which shops should be stocked, how much. So they started distributing directly to the shops without anybody in between. Okay, and they have been doing this for 20, 30 years now. So they virtually know which shop needs how much. So in fact, nobody probably there knows. And that's what Saurabh Mukherjee says in one of his, of Marcellus Investments. He says, they probably know, nobody knows. And it's almost the system taking care of it. That's a very interesting application of how AI is doing, is doing stuff. Amazon is checking junk addresses now. I mean, it's able to filter difference between the right address and the wrong address. Mahindra is actually helping you design fashion using AI. So lots of stuff is actually happening now, you know.
So the personalization has become a buzzword in digital marketing. So how can brands effectively use data or AI to connect their target audience on a more individual level?
Oh, that's a big thing, right? I mean, that's really the big thing that's happening now. In fact, Mr. Suresh Narayanan of Nestle was saying they are now using AI to geo-target the poor in urban areas, which means they are able to identify those localities where they are there and send messages to them. I mean, this was not there in the past. Insurance companies now say that beige, red and blue are less visible in the dark than other colors. So they are more accident prone. So you'll pay more insurance for that. You won't know. Okay. The beauty really is all this is happening behind our back. You might have heard of an AI company called Rephrase, yeah. which helped actually that, you might have seen that ad of Shah Rukh Khan actually advertising for Cadbury's and the store name changing store. In each part of the country. Yes, yeah. That was done by an artificial intelligence thing, which is where the text is changed and deep fake kind of a thing is done, and you know, that was done. There are companies like, for instance, HireSure, which are again artificial intelligence kind of things, where they're getting into black boxes which we didn't look at before. For instance, if you're working for 10 years in an organization, should you be promoted?
Yes, obviously.
Right? But then that decision will be taken by an AI.
AI.
So that's, and how much increment should you be given? At what level should you start? All these are, in fact, this was virtually witchcraft and only the HR fellows knew for a very, very long time.
Right.
Now it's actually, they can say, look, the system has done it, I have no bias. There's some objective thing, you know, that the system has decided, so it's either yeah or nay. So lots of things are actually getting done now. So personalization, serious personalization. I can know who you are, what you are, and then give you the job. And then, you know, say what kind of messages you have to reach and what kind of products you have to consume. Yeah, sure. Personalization can be big, actually. That's the
AI
big thing coming.
AI is doing unimaginable.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
So in a world where consumers are increasingly seeking authenticity, so how can AI be employed to help brands convey their values and build trust with customers?
Sure. You know, this is one thing. In fact, when I looked at this question, I was really seriously debating. This is one of the things in which probably you don't really need the help of AI. And the reason for that is real authentic things are so few that people can very easily identify them.
Yeah.
And if you look at the connotations, there's something like 8 connotations of what authentic means. Authentic, apparently, theory tells you, is defined as a degree to which brands are perceived to be real, sincere, and genuine. And there are apparently some 8 ways of looking at it. One is heritage. That's one way of looking at it. Typically, your Banarasi sari would be that. That's heritage. And then you have something like nostalgia, which is like going to Hampi Vijayanagar or a place like that, where all those, you know, all the remains of those places will remind you of some of that great glory. That's nostalgia. And then you could have something like cultural symbolism. If you've seen the Sheraton group of hotels, they have Chola Sheraton, Maurya Sheraton, Mughal Sheraton. Each one has a different kind of the entire genre, the architecture, the, you know, everything is different. The ambience is completely different in each of them. Reflecting a certain cultural heritage, then there could be the dimension of sincerity. For instance, a single farmer growing something without using manure, that's another sense in which, you know, without using any artificial ingredients, marginal farmer growing it. Craftsmanship, that's another way of looking at authenticity, which is, let's say, the metal mirrors in Kerala, or let's say the filigree work in Cuttack. Those are, you know, they're really, really, really genuine, right? Or let's say commitment to excellence. For instance, jumps and studs and so on. It needs really good work, actually. In fact, we got it done and we waited for 3 months. That fellow said it'll get done in 10 days. But there's no other way. The work is so good, you have to get it done by one guy, and that one guy does this, you have to wait for him. So that's the nature of authentic work. You'll just not get, anybody and everybody can't do that work. Stylistic consistency. For instance, the granularity of ghee. That's how people decide. There is some consistency issue with which people say this is authentic. This is authentic ghee. I can make out, for instance. Okay. Moral virtue. That's another interesting way of looking at. We don't use child labor. So there are many ways in which we can understand authenticity. And my own sense is actually for these applications, you don't need really AI much. You can fairly easily understand, the products and the services. Maybe in connecting to the customers, yes, there probably you can actually use some of these things. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, right. So, like, we see that social media has become a powerful tool for brand management and also to engage the people. So what are the key do's and do nots for a brand when it comes to social media marketing and community building?
See, it's like this. The problem really is in this, lots of privacy issues are coming up now. This was not the case, and they're really pressing very hard now. I don't think we will be able to escape these things. The digital guys call this PII, personally identifiable information. So I can identify you really, and you know, so how much of that can be used and how much of that should be used is a question. For instance, I am in a shop and there is a magic camera and it's actually watching me. Okay, and based on my expressions, then it's actually prompting the clerk to do something. Okay? And see, all these things are, for instance, pupil expansion. There is a certain heat map on my face. And it changes actually depending on my choices. And if I'm excited about something, my pupils expand. So I don't have control on these things. The interesting thing is, this is being used as data by somebody. Do I know this? Do they have my permission? Should they be allowed to use it? If so, how far? These are the questions that are, you know, these are very, we don't have really much on this, but I think these issues are going to be big time. I think these will come to the forefront now.
They know
how far to go and so on. I think it's going to be a big, big, big issue.
So content marketing is a significant part of digital branding. So how can brands use AI to create compelling, shareable content that will resonate with the audience and it will help enhancing their brand identity?
Yeah, sure. See, in fact, if you look at it, ChatGPT can create entire advertising campaigns now. In fact, the AI platforms can now. In fact, in the Hollywood recently, there was a strike for this, how much creative content can be given to the machines. I know of a young person of your age. This guy actually doesn't know what an NDA means, non-disclosure agreement means. He doesn't know what it is. He just asked the platform, what is an NDA? The next thing he says is, create a contract for an NDA between party A and party B. It gets it out. This fellow doesn't know a word of it. Takes it to the lawyer, gets the vetting done, and in half a day, the contract is ready. So the kind of speed with which some of these things can be done is absolutely incredible. I asked ChatGPT to write a poem on dosa, and it gave 7 verses on it. I'll just give you 2, which are very interesting. Just see this. In a kitchen's cozy corner, where spices dance and flavors play, lies a culinary treasure to brighten up your day. A canvas of batter, thin and lacy pure delight, I sing the praises of a dish, that is the dosa's airy flight. This is just one. There's 7 verses like this. So 2 minutes flat, I could get this. Now, if you're a writer, you can actually put in some more jing in this. You can, so that's it. So it's actually a very good thing to start. And maybe if you know how to prompt it, you'll probably get a lot of good content. Yeah, absolutely.
There's also a lot of courses being circulated about ChatGPT. So to give it better prompts and train it in a way.
Oh, yeah. It's just a question of how well you prompt it. Sure.
So, sir, with the rise of e-commerce and D2C brands, what are some considerations for traditional brick and mortar business looking to adapt their branding and marketing strategies? And do you think AI can play a role in this transformation?
Oh, yeah. See, in fact, if you look at it now, the point is, there was a point of time where there was a lot of debate on, you know, offline and online and so on. Broadly, now I think it is clear. There are 2 answers to this. The first one is their complements. Otherwise, you please tell me why Amazon is going and buying up Whole Foods. I mean, it's a purely online company. For 2 reasons, apparently. One of them, apparently, is the points where they can deliver. There are points of delivery for your products and points of rejects collection. You can do that. Second thing they can do, actually, is, you know, they'll get to know actually how consumers buy. Because so far, right, they never observed firsthand how consumers buy. Amazon will get that knowledge which was never there with it. Look at the opposite of this. Nykaa is basically an online brand. But they're having Nykaa stores. Because that's the only way to give them some kind of experience. So broadly, the story really is, it doesn't matter. I mean, you may have to do both of them. Now, the question is, where you can get what you should be doing is, this answer for that would be actually go with the customer. Take a bank, for instance. A bank can actually have a kiddie bank for kids. Okay. It can have a salary account for you. Then it can have retirement benefits and all that parked in one place, you know, for a senior citizen. And the beauty really is, each of these guys has a different level of comfort with AI or with IT or whatever. So a retired person would probably like to go there, check, sit with the brand manager, and, you know, get things done. But somebody like you may not want to step into the
banks.
So, you know, instead of worrying about how much of it should be online and how much of it should be online, just go with the customer. The omnichannel story is this, no? Basically. Omnichannel story essentially is this, that just go with the customer and Bopis, bought online, returned in stores. That is Bopis.
Correct.
Bought online, picked up in stores. So I should be able to do whatever I want. I should be able to do online and you deliver it. I should be able to go to the store and then take it up. So how does it matter? In fact, they say If you share data between the different channels, it shouldn't matter really which way is it. Instead of worrying about the ratio, just go ahead and do it and look at the customer. If he wants offline, give it online. If he wants online, if he wants both, give him both. That's the way to look at it.
So, with the how can a brand successfully recover from a public relation crisis in the age of social media, and what role does AI powered reputation management play in brand sustainability?
Okay, essentially, you know, in a PR crisis, what AI can do now is, if you have enough data, this whole thing basically depends on how much data you have. It can forewarn you. Something that was never happening. In the past, we were actually reacting after a crisis happens. But now it can forewarn you, provided you have that kind of data, you know, the crisis data and what happened, what did we do kind of thing. The other interesting thing AI can do now is it can tell you whether to intervene or not intervene. That's the other thing, because that's a very big, very, very difficult for you to know, should I now intervene or is this too early or too late? You know, it's very difficult for us to take that call. AI can now do it. Okay, so that's another thing that's actually, but while all this is fine, please understand it's not without its blemishes. Yeah, you can actually have data breaches. You can have biases in the AI algorithms. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So what happens is if all of us say something, but that something is wrong, you'll go and do it. So that's the downside. So we can use all these things and our understanding of what we should do gets better. But I think it needs a watchful eye to know how to use it, where to use it. I think it's very, very important. Pretty much like using a platform and giving it a prompt.
Yeah.
It's pretty much like that. It just depends on the kind of prompts, the kind of coding you do.
Yeah.
The platform actually starts responding based on that.
According to that, the platform also gets trained. So we have to keep an eye and monitor the platform.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. So what were the fundamental elements of a brand that transcend generational boundaries?
Oh yeah, I mean, see, let's look at it. I mean, if you look at all the values we have, like let's say truth, love, compassion, trustworthiness, expertise, these are universal emotions. They have been there since human beings were born. I don't think they'll change. How they're interpreted in a culture might change. How somebody sees a certain color in a certain culture might change. But the fact is there are 7 colors, that's it. So those templates will not change. If those were not there, then look at how some of these Harvards and Oxfords, Cambridges, IIMs, how have they become so big? And they go across generations. And there is no slowing down in many of these institutions, many of these corporations. They're 200, 300 years old companies have been continuously going on. So I think there are obviously values which are intergenerational. And it's just a question of identifying those and asking whether those are relevant to today. And if so, what are those things? And more importantly, in how do we communicate to the customer so that they are made relevant? That's the story going forward.
Okay, sir. So that brings us to the end of the podcast. Thank you and stay tuned for the next episode.